is the main argument in favor of McKinnon just the fact that he hasn't won it before and all of these other guys have? Because when comparing McKinnon and Kucherov, you look at who's on pace for more points, that's Kucherov, and who has less help doing that, it's also Kucherov. So in terms of who's more valuable to their team, I don't know why McKinnon is the betting favorite right now.
You're now listening to the Boys in the Booth podcast with your hosts, Harper Cody, Chad Melbourne, and Casey Abrams.
That's a big one. That's a big one.
Yeah.
Welcome to episode 205 of the Boys in the Booth podcast, and we are your hosts, Cody, Abrams, and Melbourne, all three of us with you for this one. As fellas, we are winding down the 23-24 NHL regular season, getting ready for the playoffs, which is less than a month away. Time is flying. Easter weekend is on the horizon. How we doing, fellas?
Well, I am still licking my wounds from my fantasy loss in the quarterfinals. Thought I'd go a little deeper than that, but man, I lost to Alex Ovechkin. That's the only reason I lost. Emerson's team otherwise is not good, but Ovechkin got 47 points in fantasy. So he beat me by, like 7 points or something like that. And it pretty much came down to Ovechkin scoring a bajillion goals and the Edmonton Oilers getting spanked by Toronto. That was pretty much the only difference maker. Yeah, it hurt to have no Thatcher Demko and Vince Dunn and stuff like that. But Ovi, man, he did it.
Yep.
He certainly did. Prime Ovi is back. And Case, you were one of two major upsets in fantasy last week in our league. Nathan Murray is gloating all the way to the bank right now after his first round upset. His team got a lot better at the deadline, and he was actually really pumped that Emerson got through instead of you, because when looking at the two teams, he was saying to himself, you know, I can beat Emerson, I think, if we go to the finals, but I don't know if I could beat Casey's team healthy. So he was happy that you lost. But man, like, Prime Ovi is back. It seems like at the start of the season, you know, like the first 20 games or whatever, I forget how many goals he actually had, but it wasn't very many. Now, all of a sudden, he has 26 goals in 67 games. He scored, I think it's something like 12 in his last 18. Like, he's on an absolute tear, and this might not even be his lowest scoring season ever. And we thought this year was the one where he was absolutely done and washed. So it's just incredible to see the scoring and the resurgence of Ovechkin after a slow start. And it's been super fun to watch. But other than that, boys, I'm doing well. It's a busy time of the year, so I'm just got my head buried in books. That's about it. Harp, how you doing?
I'm good, boys. And in our house here, the younger brother is pretty happy right now with how his Capitals are doing. And yes, Case with the big fantasy win there, he was pretty excited and is happy to see Ovi return to form. And man, like, what a weekend again for the Capitals. I've been keeping my eye on them here a little bit. If our listeners can remember last week's episode, you know, we kind of went through the Eastern Conference playoff race and picked who we think, the two teams will be to take those two wild card spots. Our Islanders predictions aren't looking too good right now, but I know you guys both had the Red Wings and I had the Capitals, so certainly keeping an eye on them. And what a great game against Carolina last Friday, 7-6 in a shootout, and then a big win over Winnipeg, where Ovi, as you mentioned there, Case, 47 points in fantasy there. He had two goals in that game, so M's pretty happy. But as for me, doing well, boys, and great to be on with you guys once again.
Just looking at it here, Hart, before we jump into the episode.
Yep.
In 2016-17, in a full season, 82 games, Ovi had 33 goals this season. And everyone thought at that time, oh, he's done, he's washed. Like, I remember there's a really bad take from Sid Sixero. And he was talking about how, you know, Ovi isn't even, whatever, top 20 in the league or whatever at that point. But he resurged and has been scoring ever since. This year, he's on pace for 32. So just one fewer than his career low on an 82-game pace. So like that's it's just crazy to me.
It is. And that 33 goal season, I believe that came after three consecutive 50 goal seasons, if I'm
that's
not
right.
mistaken.
Yeah. That's right. 51, yeah. 53, 50, then 33, and then right back to 49, 51, 48, et cetera.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. No, it's great to see. And as we're recording here, you know, big game tonight between Detroit and Washington. So anyway, let's get into it, boys. It's going to be a quick one for us as, you know, we're getting towards the end of the regular season here, getting ramped up for playoff time again, less than a month away as we approach April. And so we're just going to do some talk about awards here. We're going to talk about the Hart Trophy and what a tight race that is, and just, you know, give a guy each on who we think will win the Hart Trophy, and then we'll talk about the Norris Trophy as well. So why don't we start with the Hart, guys? And Chad, do you want to you know, just to start, do you want to go through kind of the odds? I know you've got them up there for the players who have the best chance to win the Hart.
Yeah, for sure. I'll start with the odds, and I use FanDuel for this when going through. So if you want to download FanDuel, one of my most used sportsbooks, by the way, you can click the link in our bio and get the number one offer. So just a quick plug there. But yeah, on FanDuel for the Hart Trophy, Nathan MacKinnon is the favorite at minus 300. The field is next, so anyone else, at plus 230. Nikita Kucherov is plus 500. Connor McDavid is plus 600, and Austin Matthews has dropped quite a bit and is now plus 1500. And on other sites, I've seen him as low as plus 2000. So those are the odds right now. Maybe we'll go to Case first. Who do you think has the most realistic chance to win the Hart Trophy after hearing those odds? And maybe who do you think has maybe, like, you know, an outside shot, or who do you think the best value is?
Well, first off, more importantly, Elias Pettersson's dropped down to plus 20,000. So my preseason bet on him has fallen short. He's probably not even going to be the MVP of his team. We'll probably talk about that more later. But yeah, I mean, I think I'm pretty closely aligned with the odds right now on who I think is going to win the Hart. And, you know, I will say it's probably going to be MacKinnon. You know, he leads in total goals on ice for, leads all players in shots, goals created, fourth in goals and second in points. Like, he's playing unbelievable. And, you know, when you look at it, just the eye test, you just think he's driving the play at all times. But I'm going to play the devil's advocate, and I'm going to say that Kucherov is going to win the Hart. When I look at it, you know, and I look at kind of all the stats together, they're really closely aligned, except for like shots. You know, MacKinnon's ridiculous in that category, but I'd say that the stats are more closely aligned. And at the end of the day, I think that Kucherov is playing on the weaker team overall, and really his play, you know, there's the argument to be made that his play, his MVP caliber play, is what has dragged this team into like comfortable playoff position, instead of realistically where they'd be is a in the wild card race if it wasn't for Kucherov. Now, the argument is that MacKinnon has made his team a top team in the league and a Stanley Cup favorite, but I think he has a little more support in guys like Makar and Rantanen, who are, you know, top 10 in every other stat as well. So those two guys and kind of the narrative that we've been talking about with the Hart Trophy lately, where it's more about, you know, the impact on your team, and if your team is a weaker team, then that looks more favorable for you. If we look at it that way, then I'm probably gonna go with Kucherov here.
Yeah, well, you have to remember that the Hart Trophy is given to the player adjudged to be the most valuable to his team. Not the most valuable player in the league, but the most valuable to his team. So, Case, I like the argument you made in favor of Kucherov being more valuable to his team than MacKinnon. And honestly, I tend to agree with it. I just look at the supporting cast who support MacKinnon, and I think it's better than the supporting cast who support Kucherov. And the numbers kind of say that too. So with MacKinnon, he has 44 goals, 78 assists for 122 points in 71 games. He's on pace for 141 points. That's crazy, by the way, guys. There's a few other players who are up there, all of which we're going to talk about. But 141 points on pace for is disgusting. But then if you look at the players on his team, like Rantanen has 96 points in 71 games. Makar is up for the Norris Trophy with 78 in 66. So those are some pretty good players there who support MacKinnon. And then for Kucherov, he has 41 goals, so just three fewer than MacKinnon, 82 assists, and 123 points in 70 games, on pace for three more points than MacKinnon for 144, which would be his best ever. I think his best is 128 the year that he won the Hart Trophy last time. So just incredible numbers there. But then if you look at the players who support him, of course, there are some great players and some good two-way players as well. But the next closest point getter is Braden Point with just 80 points in 70 games. That's a 43-point difference right now between first and second place on his team. So, Case, I think you make a really great point in just the supporting cast for Kucherov is not quite as good as it is for MacKinnon.
Yeah, I think we all expected Colorado to be at the top of the league. And, you know, there's questions about Tampa Bay going into the season by, you know, most people. We're all kind of expecting them to be a playoff team, but it to be more of a race. And, you know, you're wondering when the regression has to start coming for a team that is, you know, coming off like a dynasty type run. Well, I mean, Kucherov has just shouldered the weight of keeping this team more than relevant. Like, they are still contenders, and it's because he drives this team so much. And then, like, something I found interesting is that MacKinnon starts in the O-zone far more than Kucherov. And I didn't expect to see that. Now, there's a lot of, like, those stats are a little muddied by like the on-the-fly starts and stuff like that. So it is based off percentages where they are starting their shift. I will say that like MacKinnon is the better defensive player. Sometimes it feels like Kucherov can get lost out there. But man, you're comparing two guys that are just absolute workhorses and drive their teams, really. I wonder what Rantanen is without MacKinnon. I wonder what Point is without Kucherov. And I mean, they're great players, but you have to look at the goals created stat and you say, man, 44.4 and 44.3 for these two guys.
Wild.
Crazy. I know, great points there on Kucherov. And yeah, I agree. He doesn't have the same supporting cast that MacKinnon has in Colorado for sure. And you know, I would, in terms of being an elite passer, I would have to give the edge to Kuch as well. With the level of deception that he has with the puck, like with his stick and his eyes and whatever, like he's, you know, He can throw guys off so well and so often and just deliver these gorgeous passes to Braden Point or Stamkos or Brandon Hagel, whoever it is. And that's one thing that really sticks out to me and that we talk about and hear so often when it comes to Kucherov is how elite his passing is and the great deception that he has in his game. I'd have to give the slight edge to him in that regard.
Yeah, and while we're talking about supporting cast too, we might as well bring in the other two players who are technically still in this race. McDavid has 117 points right now in 67 games, and he's on pace for 111 assists, which is insane. But then if you look at his supporting cast, you've got Leon Draisaitl, who has 92 points in 69 games, which is an incredible feat in and of itself. And then when you look at Matthews and his supporting cast, Matthews actually doesn't even lead the team in points. That's William Nylander, who has one more than Matthews does, despite all of Matthews's goals. Of course, he's on pace for 69 right now, and nobody scored 70 goals in a long, long time. You know, it was McGilmy in 1992-93, and that's why he's even in this conversation. But in terms of supporting cast, we've all identified that Kucherov has the least help. So my question then, to kind of like continue this conversation comparing MacKinnon and Kucherov, is is the main argument in favor of McKinnon just the fact that he hasn't won it before and all of these other guys have? Because when comparing McKinnon and Kucherov, you look at who's on pace for more points. That's Kucherov. And who has less help doing that? It's also Kucherov. So in terms of who's more valuable to their team, I don't know why McKinnon is the betting favorite right now. Am I wrong to say that?
Yeah, I don't know. I think at the end of the day, it is voted for by the media, and Nathan McKinnon is absolutely a media darling, whereas I think that, you know, Kucherov can get left on the shelf in that aspect, but I don't know. I have to think that McKinnon's more likely to get the Ted Lindsay than he is the Hart just because of the strength of his team. I don't know. I don't know how much they actually put weight in that. It seems like it's been more ever since Taylor Hall won the Hart. And that shows why, like, guys like Quinn Hughes and Pedersen and Miller and like all those guys aren't really in the conversation, because that team is such a collective effort to be driving them to the top of the league. And, yeah, you know, maybe the same for McDavid, but I did want to kind of mention McDavid, and because we've only really talked about him in passing, there's an argument to be said, like, look at that team when he wasn't going at the beginning of the season. I mean, we were thinking they were going to miss the playoffs, and then he turned it on. Dreisaitl, both of them, they turned it on, and now they're a contender again. So it's like, I don't know, but maybe that is what makes an MVP. But I do hear what you're saying. Like, I start to think McKinnon hasn't won it. The media loves him. He's Canadian and not from a country that is currently being shunned. I don't know if that's going to put any weight in there. I'm sure I'm going to get shit on for that. But I don't know. There's a lot that goes into this, folks.
Yeah. I'm glad you mentioned McDavid too, because he's third right now in terms of Vegas favorites, but he has put together an incredible season after a very average start by his standards. Yeah. And like I said, I'm going to come back to the stat. If he scores 100 assists for the first time since Wayne Gretzky did in 1990-91, like that, if he accomplishes that, how can you not say, or how can you say that he's not the most valuable player to his team? If he was able to bring his team out of the basement just by producing at an incredible clip. So yeah, Case, I'm glad you brought up McDavid. It's crazy.
I mean, he turned Zach Hyman into a 50-goal scorer this year, so.
Oh, my God, man. Oh, my God. Zach Hyman scored 50 goals, all from the blue paint, tap-ins from McDavid. Like, crazy.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing to see how many people out there seem to have an issue with Zach Hyman being a 50-goal scorer as well. But you know, I mean, that's what you get when you're a hard worker like Hyman, and when you're playing with a guy like McDavid. And, you know, if he hits 100 assists, and given the start that the Oilers had and all the adversity they've gone through this year with the coaching change and everything, you know, in my eyes, that's got to put him right up there as potentially the favorite for this award. I think that would just be absolutely incredible.
Mm-hmm. And bringing it back to betting, because that was like the first thing, like I went through all the odds. FanDuel has McKinnon versus the field, and the field is plus 230 right now. If Kucherov scores, you know, even 5 to 8 more points than McKinnon, he could easily win it. If McDavid scores 100 points or 100 assists, rather, he could easily win it. And if Matthews scores 70 goals, he could easily win it. So I think the value right now, at least on FanDuel, because they're the only book that I know of who's offering this bet, is betting on the field at plus 230 versus McKinnon, who's minus 300 or minus 305 or whatever. So that's what I would go with. But the final question for you guys on this, what do you guys think is actually more impressive? Because I'm not even sure of it myself. 100 assists or 70 goals? I've been thinking a lot about this, and I'm not sure which one is more impressive.
I it's 70 goals for me. There's one goal and there's two assists. And to score 70 goals, you have to score 70 goals. Whereas to get 100 assists, I mean, I'm not taking anything away from 100 assists. It's pretty damn impressive, obviously, considering how many guys have done it. I'm just saying that, you know, not many guys have been scoring 70 goals either. And
nope.
Yeah, you've got to do it. Whereas, I don't know, tack on a couple of secondary assists. You know what blew my mind today? Looked it up. One empty net goal. That's how many empty net goals Matthews has. And it was Sunday.
It was the other night,
or
too.
Saturday. Yeah.
It was the other night.
That blew my mind. Yeah. You know,
from,
I'm like,
from like 200 feet.
I felt like he had more. And I'm like, well, he's got 58 goals on pay, like going for 70. He's got to have a lot of empty netters, right? No, one. So.
Yeah. I would like to see how many empty netters a guy like, you know, basically everyone else on the team has, because it feels like the last 2 minutes, it's, you know, Matthews collapses with the D-man, and then there's some water bug, whether it's Mitch or like Yarncroke or whoever, buzzing around the top trying to chase those empty net goals. So it's never Matthews, which is, it's crazy. But yeah, both really impressive. Let the record show that Casey thinks McDavid is overrated for getting 100 assists and he doesn't think it's even that good.
He can thank Zach Hyman.
Yeah, exactly.
Case is like, ah, you know what? Too many of those are secondary assists, whatever. So that's just kidding. But I had to think about that for a second, obviously, and because it is a really good question. But I will hop on with Case on this one and say that 70 goals is more impressive. I mean, you know, you're the sole guy to get those goals, and so you know, he certainly creates his own chances with that shot and that incredible release. And, you know, again, the empty netters thing is wild, because I think about a guy like Ovechkin, who we were talking about, and I believe Ovi at this point now has the most empty net goals of all time, doesn't he?
Yeah,
I think so. I think I heard that.
Yeah. And so, like, you know, and we're all watching Ovi to see if he can tie the record and eventually pass Gretzky for most goals all time. But think about where he would be at on the all-time goals list if it weren't for all those empty netters. And then Matthews, with the kind of year that he's having, on pace for 69-70 with only one empty net goal. That is incredible. And as the years go on here, and well, it's already started. I mean, we're talking about Matthews now as one of the best goal scorers we've ever seen. And he'll be after that record as well that Gretzky currently holds. So yeah, I will agree. The 70 goals is the more impressive one, but man, it just goes to show, like, we are in the golden era of talent, elite talent, generational talents in the NHL. It's fun to watch.
Oh, there's like 10
I
games
think
left.
We're going to look back on this.
Go ahead. There's 10 games left, and there's going to be like potentially 10 players with more than 100 points, or maybe more players than that. And just quickly to go back on like what I was saying, like, it's, I can't take anything away from McDavid, because on those 100 assists, he is driving the play most of the time, and he is the one creating all that. I just more so meant it as, like, statistically, you know, there's more assists out there.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, and like another thing is 70 goals has been done more recently than 100 assists. But when you look at other players in the league this year, there are guys closer, like Kucherov, for example, is on pace for 96 assists. So, like, he could even potentially do it. And then if there's the chance that you have two guys who do this thing, then it seems like less, I don't know, it seems it's less novel, it's less impressive, but 70 goals would be crazy. I will say McDavid is going to be a hell of a lot closer to 100 assists than I think Matthews will be to 70 goals, or it's far more likely anyways that happens. And neither has been done yet to this point. So we'll have to see. The games still have to be played. But what I was going to say is, Harp, like you mentioned it, I think we're going to look back on this era of hockey and like the era that's coming out of the dead puck era with all the incredible young stars that the league has now, you know, the stars that Ovechkin and Crosby kind of passed the torch on to. And we're going to say to ourselves, that was the golden age of hockey. Like it doesn't, like, how can it get better than this? You know, like if you look back at some of, you know, the greatest teams in history, like you think about Joe Sakic and Peter Forsberg on those Avalanche teams, or you think of like Zetterberg, Datsyuk, like those guys in Detroit, it's like those guys were good, but were they smashing records every season? Like it's not even close, you know? I think it's just crazy. We're blessed right now.
We are. Absolutely. And, you know, again, it's the Bedards who are coming, who are already here, and the Carlsons, and, you know, Macklin Celebrini is certainly special. He'll be the number one pick this year. And, you know, the cool thing about Matthews, McDavid, and all these guys that we've been talking about, you know, those two in particular, they're right around our current age too, mm-hmm. which is a really cool thing. So it's easy to relate, and yeah, it's a lot of fun to watch. We're in a special time in hockey for sure. So Case, still going with Kucherov at the end of the day?
Yeah, I got to make it interesting. I can't just go with the favorite no matter what.
Chat. I think Cooch should be the favorite. So yeah, I'm going with him.
I will take McKinnon. I know that like it's regardless. And I heard this on another podcast the other day. Like you can't just, your sole argument can't be, well, he's never won it before, but he mm-hmm. is certainly deserving of it. And that's all that matters, right? Is that, you know, the guy who wins it at the end of the day is deserving of it. And McKinnon certainly is. And, you know, before he really broke out as being, you know, close to 100-point player and being a superstar in the National Hockey League, we can remember when there were some bad Colorado teams when they were going through that rebuild and, you know, looking at McKinnon and saying, boy, oh boy, all the talent in the world is there, but And he's even said this before on other podcasts and in interviews, like, you know, oh, I might just be like a 50, 60 point guy in the NHL and have a good career and all that. Well, I mean, we're not surprised now to see that he is an absolute superstar. And so, yeah, I'll go with McKinnon. It'd be great.
Yeah. To see. I mean, I've already mentioned it this episode, like maybe Kucherov, Hart, and McKinnon, Ted Lindsay at the end of the day.
Yeah, exactly. That'd be the best of both worlds, honestly, wouldn't it? Like,
yeah, McKinnon's never had a heart. Kucherov has. I get it. Even though, you know, McKinnon probably should have won the year that Taylor Hall did. I know people were upset about that year. I know Taylor Hall had a good season too, but anyways, I think that should be it for the heart. Are we ready to move on to the Norris?
Yep, that's it for the heart. So good discussion there, fellas. And we'll move on to the Norris Trophy here before we wrap up. So Chad, same kind of deal. Do you want to go over the odds for the Norris?
We interrupt this podcast to tell you about one of our favorite partners, SignUp Expert. If you're a sports bettor, whether brand new, casual, or hardcore, listen very carefully because this ad is for you. Guys, line shopping for the best odds matters, and that's why any profitable sports bettor needs to be using multiple sports books to maximize their profits. Thankfully, there's never been a better time to get signed up, and we're here to connect you with the best promotions industry-wide. When you use our link at signupexpert.com/boysinthebooth, you can get access to all the top sportsbooks in your region, along with a review of each platform and its unique benefits. Most importantly, all of these sportsbooks have valuable signup offers for new users, and when you register through our link, you will automatically receive the top offer at each one, allowing you to start line shopping right away with an enhanced bankroll. Guys, it's simple. When you use multiple sportsbooks, you ensure that you can always access the best available odds, which is key to successful and profitable sports betting. So So if you want to take advantage of these incredible benefits and support our brand at the same time, please consider signing up for your next sportsbook through the link in the description down below, signupexpert.com/boysinthebooth. If you're planning on signing up for a new sportsbook anyways, you might as well use the link and support the boys. So one more time, that's signupexpert.com/boysinthebooth. This podcast is also sponsored by the absolute best ticket app out there, SeatGeek. SeatGeek takes the confusion out of buying tickets, making it quick and easy to get the best deals on tickets to your favorite sporting events. SeatGeek does this awesome thing where they score each ticket out of 10 based on its value, so you know if you're getting a good or a bad deal. If the tickets are green, for example, you better act quick and secure those things because that's a good deal. But if the tickets are red, maybe wait a bit before pulling the trigger and monitor the price in the app. SeatGeek just makes it way too easy. Anyway, here's the best part though. SeatGeek has completely hooked us up. Boys in the Booth listeners get $20 off their first purchase on SeatGeek with the promo code BOYSINTHEBOOTH in all caps. So click the link in the description down below to download the app and remember to get your discounted tickets using the code BOYSINTHEBOOTH in all caps. Get great seats for a fraction of the cost with SeatGeek. Yeah, Harp, so I'll do it just like we did the Hart Trophy and I'll just read who are the odds on favorites to win. So I guess before I do that, I should say that the Norris Trophy, according to the NHL, is given to the defense player. Yes, that's the term that they use. Given to the defense player who demonstrates throughout the season the greatest all-around ability in the position. So that's what we're talking about here, boys. Not the best offensive defenseman or best defensive defenseman, but all around, even though we all know it's the best offensive. But here are the odds on FanDuel. Quinn Hughes has the best odds and he's the favorite to win at minus 650. So they think he's pretty close to a lock. Makar is at number two at plus 350. I think there's some good value there. The field is at plus 430, which personally, if you think Makar is going to win it, you should take the field at plus 430 because it's better odds than just Makar winning it. So that's odd that it's structured like that, but that's how FanDuel has it. And then Dobson at plus 3,500, Yossi at plus 4,000. Guys like Hedman and Bouchard are also having good offensive seasons, but Hedman's won, you know, a handful of them and Bouchard can't play defense at all. So I don't think that those guys will be in the conversation. I think there has to be some sort of limit in terms of defensive ability, but those are the odds. Case, who are you thinking? Like, are you in agreements with FanDuel that Hughes is a lock at minus 650, or do you think there's someone else who could take it?
Minus 650 feels pretty generous, I'd say, when it comes to odds. But I do think Hughes is the Norris Trophy winner. I think that he is having just a fucking unbelievable season on defense. And like you can definitely sit here and say like Makar is the better defender. He's better at defense. He's more physical. He blocks more shots. He can clear the net better. Whatever you want to say. But you don't need to block shots and clear the net and defend when you're always on attack. It's just not necessary. You're not blocking shots in the offensive zone. And that's where Quinn Hughes is. He has a goal differential of 78, on-ice goal differential of 78, whereas Makar's is 43. That is such an impossible gap to close in my mind when it comes to the Norris Trophy. And like they have the puck in the other team's zone more when he's on the ice. They create more chances. They score more goals. It's just everything points to the team is better when Quinn Hughes is on the ice. And the team is better when Makar is on the ice. But right now, in this season, there is a much bigger gap when it comes to Quinn Hughes. And then once again, Makar starts in the offensive zone 25% of the time. Quinn Hughes starts in 17.8% of the time. So not only is he spending more time in the offensive zone, he's getting them there. It's impressive. His first pass is currently the best in the league, and he's such a great skater. He's just like all of the Hughes brothers. They skate with the puck so well, and they get it in the other zone. I've just kind of like, I'm in awe of the season he's having, and it's really, you know, if if you had to pick a heart for a defenseman, then it's going to be Quinn Hughes. Like, the team wasn't really in talks of being a contender or, you know, maybe even not being in the playoffs. And now they're first in the league because of his play.
Mm-hmm. It's funny, when Hughes and Makar came into the league together, it was like they were seen as on the same tier, right? And then as a few seasons went on, it seemed like Cale Makar became the guy on another tier, and Quinn Hughes was still very good, but not quite at the level of Cale Makar. And this season, Hughes has just said, no, I don't want any of that. Give me the respect I deserve. I'm just as good, if not better, than Cale Makar in certain areas. So give me my cookies. And he's been performing this year. I forget the stat, but I heard it very early in the season. It's something like nobody has more offensive puck possession time per game than Quinn Hughes, which is crazy because he's just a guy who controls everything from the top, whether it's on that incredible power play that the Canucks have or just at 5-on-5. So he snaps it around, he makes a first pass, he gets into the zone, and then when he's in the zone, he's able to just distribute. So he's had an incredible season. Just when looking at the numbers, though, he has 13 goals, 68 assists for 81 points in 72 games. In 82 games, he's on pace for 92. Makar, though, again, who is not the favorite, he's at plus 350. He has 18 goals, so five more than Hughes, 60 assists, 78 points in 66 games, and is on pace on 82 games for 96 points, which would be four more than Hughes. So I know it's not all about points, but in terms of actual offensive production, underlying numbers aside, Makar has been the more productive player. And it's just crazy because when you look down the list of other guys who are producing too, like, you know, Josi is over a point per game, Bouchard's over a point per game, Hedman's over a point per game. Like, there are some really good offensive defensemen having great seasons this year. And, you know, it's going to be a shame when a lot of them, all but one of them actually, don't win the trophy. Because I look at a guy like Hedman and I said off the top that he has multiple Norris trophies. He does not. He has one. And in my head, he has been collecting them and raking them up, but he only has one, guys, which completely shocked me. He got that in 2017-18. And like, I don't know, like, that's a guy who I think should be in contention. Again, I don't want to make the argument that, you know, like, oh, he hasn't won in a while and he's still pretty good, so give it to him. But I don't know, it's voted on by the media and the writers. So I think he could be in contention too. Now, if I had to pick one today, I think I am going to go with the favorite, Quinn Hughes. He's been incredible, but I just wanted to point out the other like six guys who I think potentially could have a shot if it were any other season.
Yeah, and they're all having unbelievable seasons, but only one of them get the trophy. And it's funny that if I was doing a fantasy draft of my team, and like we restarted the NHL, I'm going to pick Cale Makar as my first defenseman if I can. I think he's the best defenseman in the league. But this season, Quinn Hughes has just been phenomenal, and he's just controlled so much of the play. Like, a couple more stats that just show like how little, like, they play in terms of share of ice time. They play the same amount. Quinn's played a few more games, but it's to look at it on a per 60, because that's the most even way you can make it. Like, on ice shot attempts against when Quinn Hughes is on the ice is 44.86, and with Cale Makar it's 57.33. So it's, there's a lot going on there that is a team stat for sure in the end, but just at face value, when you look at that, the team has the puck more and is at danger less when Quinn Hughes is on the ice at the moment.
Yeah, that's amazing. And, you know, like, Case, you mentioned it there, Hughes is certainly not looked at as being a defensive stalwart, but you know, exactly like you said, when it's hard to defend, and you don't have to defend when you always have the puck, and he always has the puck. He gets into the zone so well on his own. He's such an incredible skater, as is Makar as well. But I think the other impressive thing here for me with Hughes is, you know, Philip Hronek has been a pretty good D partner for him, of course, but he's had his struggles this year. And you look at the rest of that Vancouver blue line, and in my opinion, it's not as deep of a blue line as it is in Colorado. You know, Makar has Devon Taves, and that's been a consistent pair for a few years now, and they also have Sam Girard. You know, they did have Bowen Byram, who of course is now with Buffalo, and you know, they have Manson and now Sean Walker. And so I look at, again, sort of going back to the Hart Trophy conversation, like, you know, in more of an impact on your team, so, like solely individual. And I just look at Hughes as having a bit of the advantage on Makar. But if it were me, boys, I'd be taking the field for this. I like the odds there, and I would have to give the edge to Roman Josi. In my mind, I know he's already got a Norris Trophy before, but man, you look at this incredible run that the Predators have been on, and you know, heard this from Jeff and Elliot like the other week or whenever it was, but every night quietly for Josi, like it's 3 points here, it's 4 points here, like whatever, like he has been absolutely incredible. And you could argue that Nashville blue line, you know, like it's around him, it's not as deep as it once was. I mean, I know they have McDonough and Jeremy Lauzon hits everything that moves, and, you know, and some other guys in that mix as well. But there's no Ekholm, there's no Ryan Ellis, there's like some of these guys that they had before. And I've just been so impressed with Josi, who yet again, very quietly, is a Norris Trophy candidate again. And so I'd be taking the field, and I'd be giving the edge to him, because Nashville does not go on this incredible run without him. It's not even close.
It's really true. Speaking of taking the field though, Harper, like I mentioned off the top, I would also be taking the field, because it's better odds than just taking Makar, and Makar right now is the second favorite at plus 350. So for me, if I'm a betting man, which we all know I am from time to time, I'm taking the field as well. Harp, I'm glad that you went with the field. Shows that you're thinking about the odds here. While I do think that Hughes will probably win it, I think he's due, and that's what the writers are thinking. I'm going to bet the field. And by the way, I already did before this episode, just to get that out there.
Yeah, I mean, I hear you, and
it makes a ton of sense.
Yeah, I can get the argument for Josi, and I love that, because I've always been a big Roman Josi fan. I just, at the end of the day, like, it really is, it's just the best defenseman, not the best defenseman on your team award. It's the best defenseman. That's it. And that's what Quinn Hughes has been, in my opinion. You know, that again is not to go to say that he is the best defenseman in the league. And we make the argument always that we want to have a best offensive defenseman and best defensive defenseman award. But at the end of the day, based off how they've been handing out this award in the past, I think that Quinn Hughes is the safe bet. But, you know, you're not making much money on that one.
Mm-hmm. I do want to say that at the start of the season, I was texting one of my buddies who will remain unnamed, and I said that Victor Hedman was washed because Sergachev is going to be the guy who comes in and provides all the offense. Like last year, Sergachev was playing PP1 for the most part of the season, and Hedman was irrelevant in fantasy. Well, all of that has changed. Hedman is back to normal. He's a fantasy stud. He's up for the Norris Trophy this year, or at least in conversations, and he's over a point per game. So just incredible, and I'll eat that. I was wrong 100%. But that's all I have to say about the Norris. I think we've pretty much covered it. That's the race.
No. I've got one more thing just to, I think we have to mention him, is Adam Fox. If he wasn't injured for like a handful of like 10 games, he would very much be in this conversation. He's been electric, especially in the last couple of weeks, just putting up points for the Rangers. He's, you know, at a point per game pace like he always is every single year. He's got 14 goals in 61 games, 61 points. It's impressive what he does every single night. And I just have to mention him. If he got to play a full season, then I think he's very much in this race. And then the field would look even better.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, no, he could win this award every year, and you know, he should be in the conversation every year for this award. And you know, quickly before we wrap up, I just going back to Noah Dobson, I have to give my brother Emerson some credit here, because he was on Dobson early on here in the season, and he's had an incredible run here for the New York Islanders, and what a breakout season for him. And so for Dobson, it could maybe end up like it was for Jacob Chychrun a few years back. Maybe he finishes eighth, you know, just outside the top five, or maybe inside the top five for Norris Trophy voting. Just wanted to recognize him for that one. He had a pretty good call there on Noah Dobson.
Yeah, and just going back to the total points, guys, there are currently seven defensemen right now who have over or at a point per game, and it's just incredible. Like Makar, Hughes, Bouchard, Hedman, Yossi, Fox, Theodore, Shea Theodore, and that's it. And then Noah Dobson is in eighth spot. So I know Theodore and Fox haven't played the full season, like Case mentioned, but just some great seasons from young offensive defensemen. It's really great to see. But yeah, like I said, that's all I have to say about the Norris.
Yep, absolutely. And you know, I'll wrap it up by saying this. I think specifically we're in the golden era of defensemen in the NHL. I really believe that. And you look at this upcoming 2024 draft, and it is absolutely loaded with defensemen in that first round. So,
man, some old heads out there are going to come after you talking about defensemen and being in the golden era. I tend to agree because this is my generation, but there's going to be some old guys that are just hunting you down.
Oh, I think it's more undeniable with forwards, but I'm with you. Like, there's some great defensemen. But in terms of forwards, like, I'll stand by that against any old head. I think we're looking at the cream of the crop right now.
For sure. Yeah, absolutely. Well, we'll see if I get any commenters coming after me for that take. But it's hard not to look at what's going on right now with forwards, defensemen, just everyone in the league in general, and just recognize how special it is. So anyway, all right, boys, that wraps up episode 205. Some conversation about the Hart Trophy race and the Norris Trophy race, as well as we continue to inch closer to the end of the season and get into the Stanley Cup playoffs again, less than a month away. Thanks so much for listening to episode 205. We'll talk to you again next week.
This has been another episode of Boys in the Booth with Harper Cody, Chad Melbourne, and Casey Abrams. Connect with the Boys in the Booth on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube at Boys in the Booth. Visit boysinthebooth.com for show details. And don't forget, you can become a patron of the podcast for just $1 a month at patreon.com/boysinthebooth.